song I like to do. Chris Thomason wrote it. And it's a song that I like to do it because it makes me reflect back on where I've been. It kind of keeps me off the street. That's important for me to do, to look back where I've been, because I don't want to lose track of where I am trying to go. Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head that didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled in my closet, threw my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt. Then I washed my face and combed my hair, stumbled down the stairs to meet the day. I smoked my mind the night before with cigarettes and songs that I'd been picking. But I lit my first and watched a small boy cussing at a can that he'd been kicking. I crossed the empty street, caught the Sunday smell of someone frying chicken. And it took me back to something that I lost somewhere, somehow along the way. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, oh, I'm wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. 'Cause there's something in a Sunday that makes the body feel alone. Short of dying, half as lonesome as the sound of a sleeping city sidewalk, Sunday morning coming down.
Sunday morning. Okay, everybody, welcome to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. I was away the last couple weeks, out of town, down south, basking in the California sun. It was between 89 and 97 degrees. Makes you really wonder why we live here when you're down in weather like that. Was back here last Tuesday, but we did some high school basketball, which was just awesome. It was just an awesome tournament we got to do down there at the Agronome. But to kick things off today, you know, this is a tough one for me today, the way we're starting this show, but we'll get into that in a sec, is I've got Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province on at about 5:30, 5:40. Two members of the UBC Thunderbird women's basketball team, Kate Haggerty and Erica McGinnis, they're going to be here at 5. Milan Dragicevic from the hockey team will be here about 10 to 5. And starting the show today, and it was supposed to be a different tone when I did this interview today, I really believe that, and I always will, is Vern Knopp, head coach of the UBC Thunderbird, assistant coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team. And, you know, they lost in the first round of Nationals on Friday, and I got to set up my show. And I expected to have a bunch of guys in today and do a whole thing, but, coach, I couldn't even really get myself to call anybody to set up an interview today until this morning. I mean, that's sort of how I felt. I felt almost awkward calling you today.
Yeah, I think all of us are still kind of going through the disbelief, the shock of another first-round exit.
92-85 losers. You played Ottawa, and once again, fourth time in 5 years that you guys have been eliminated from the first round of Nationals. I mean, I don't know if you heard anything when you were there, but has a team ever done that before?
Not to my knowledge. I know when we went there, there was already a lot of talk about could UBC finally get over that first round hump and move on. And for whatever reason, we couldn't do it. It was a tough game. Ottawa was a very good team, and we just couldn't do it.
And Coach, obviously it has to sting more for you guys. And, you know, it was just hard for me to I don't even know if I should have called him today. Maybe I should have. But Casey Archibald, you know, his last game going for a national championship, his last chance there, had a great game, 13 for 15, 32 points from the field. But the fact remains, you didn't get it done this year. Casey reaches nationals four times in his five-year career, unable to win one game in the national tournament. That's got to be tough for you guys.
It's actually, just to correct you real quick there, Casey has won a couple games at nationals, just hasn't won that first game to get to the championship round. You know, my heart really goes out to Casey. He's been everything for our program the last 5 years. You know, arguably one of the best players to ever put on a Thunderbird jersey for the men's basketball team. And Casey was just absolutely incredible all weekend. His performance on Friday, even though we lost, was really a game for the ages. No one else was really doing anything for us, and he just kind of put the guys on his back. At one point, we were down 17 in the first half. Casey just started to take over, did everything, played the point guard for us, played the two guard for us, played some post for us, just did everything. You, as a coach, you can't ask for a player to do anything more than Casey did. And, you know, the loss this time around was no reflection on Casey's performance whatsoever.
Is this the toughest loss you guys have had of the four?
They're all tough, but yeah, I think so. For as far as I'm concerned, it definitely is, because as coaches, we really wanted this one, not just for ourselves, but we wanted this one for Casey and all our supporters. So many people have come up to me and said they've enjoyed to watch him play for the last 5 years, enjoyed watching our team play, and everyone kept saying, this is the year, and I had believed it myself. And for whatever reason, I thought we were prepared going in. Once we were up two at the half, on the previous years, we were always down eight or more at the half. And this time, being up by two as poorly as we played in the first half, we thought things would look good for the second half. And for whatever reason, we just couldn't get stops in the second half. I think we gave up something like 54 points in the second half. And it's definitely probably the toughest loss I've had to take in my 7 years at UBC.
And, you know, you got to ask what went wrong here. Last year, you looked at Casey Archibald's performance in the national quarterfinal game. This year, you got to look at shooting that ball. Chris Dick, 2 for 12, only 6 points. He had 5 fouls in that game. Uncharacteristic performance by Chris Dick in the biggest game of the year.
You know, in fairness to Chris, it's, if you haven't experienced playing there for the first time, it was his first time there, and we've seen it now, you know, four times at Nashville. You see it every year when you go there. Kids that are there for the first time really struggle, and I think if you go back to Casey's first year, I don't think his numbers were quite, I don't think he was 2 for 12, but I remember his first year there, he struggled there as well, and it happened to a lot of players. You know, Adam Friesen was another player. He didn't really shoot the ball much. First time there, he struggled to perform. And it happens not just to our team, but to other teams as well.
And I got to ask you, you know, just something that didn't go well for you this year. I expected a lot bigger things out of him. Adam Friesen, his 1 year at UBC, really never showed the glimpses of what kind of player he was when he was at Trinity Western. Never really got going for UBC this year, did he?
No, he didn't. I think the year off of basketball really did hurt him. I think he went too far out of his way to change his game to appease everybody, worrying about how Casey and how he'd be receptive by everybody else, and just came in and just tried to be the consummate team player by getting everybody the ball. And unfortunately, I think his game started to suffer because of it, and he just never could really get things on track. However, with that said, prior to Nationals, our biggest game of the year was Canada West Finals against Brandon, and he had a great game that weekend, especially had a huge second half for us, as well as hitting a three to help us win that game. So, I mean, it's, you know, not fair just to put Adam down in that regard, but he is a different player than he was when he was at Trinity. And, you know, I'm sure he'd be the first to tell you that he had, you know, he had a disappointing year as well. But he was just one of many players that basically really struggled that first game at Nationals. I mean, basically everybody struggled other than Casey Archibald.
Right. And, Coach, anything you guys would have done differently as coaches this year? I mean, it's so tough. I mean, you have a great season. You have a great playoff leading up to the Nationals, and then you lose that one game. And it almost leaves a sour note on the season, but it was an excellent season. But is there anything you as coaches would have done differently this year?
No, I think we took the right approach this year. We really did. We really did become a better defensive team, a better rebounding team, and that, you know, when we did struggle on offense at times, which is going to happen to almost every team throughout the course of the year, we were able to fall back on our defense. I honestly could say I'm happy with the decisions we made during the course of the year. I'm thrilled with how our players performed. They played their hearts out, and I told them that after the loss on Friday that for those guys that, you know, people are going to come out and say that we choked again in the first round, and losing to a team like Ottawa, who is a top five team all year long, losing a game at Nationals is no shame. I mean, you're playing against the eight best teams in the country. People will always, you know, lead into the seeds. Well, you're a two seed, playing a seven seed, you should always win. And throughout the history of Nationals, there's been a lot of one and two and three seeds that have lost in the first round. It does happen because you're playing the best of the best in the country. And I told our guys that as long as you come hard and play with your hearts out, you know, as coaches, that's all you can ask for. I mean, yes, you want to win, and I know one day we're going to get that first win at Nationals and move on. But for whatever reason, it hasn't happened for us. But this year, I can say, as a coaching staff, we don't have any regrets.
And next year, Coach, you know, you're looking at Matt Ratcher, Bryson Cool, Chris Dick, Brent Malish, Alex Murphy probably becoming your starting point guard. It seems like an excellent team, but, I mean, I'm looking at how can you be better without Casey Archibald on the floor for you guys?
That's a good question. We've had, the last few years prepare life without Casey, and there was times that during this year when Casey sat out, whether it was, just in practice or even at times in games when it's his turn to sit, where we actually had some good minutes with guys and saw a glimpse of the future. And there's no one player that can step in next year and become a Casey Archibald. That just doesn't happen, and it wouldn't be fair to put any of that pressure on a player.
Chris Dick will be asked that question at least once.
And I'm sure he will, and in fairness, and that'd be a fair question. And I believe Chris Dick is one guy that we will look to, will be our so to speak, go-to player. That's one of the reasons why we love having Chris when he wanted to come over here, that we were excited that he came here, because we think he can fill some of that role. But, Chris is still going to be going into his fourth year, third year. So, it's going to be expectations on him, and he's going to have to deal with that. And I think he'll be ready for it. But it's going to be, it's got to be everybody. Everybody's got to chip in. Matt Ratcher and Bryson Cool have to continue to improve. They're going to their fourth year, they have to step up their leadership role. Their numbers across the board have to move up. Guys like Brent Malish and Alex Murphy and Brett Leversage, who hasn't played a lot for us the last couple of years, have to step into a role and produce more. And we have the confidence of that they can do that, because if we didn't, we wouldn't have never recruited them in the first place.
Right, and Coach, I was at actually the BC High School AAA basketball tournament on the weekend. Actually, last week, CITR, we did a whole bunch of the games there. And, I got to see, you got a kid from GP Vanier, Nick Adair.
Yep.
He actually got injured in their round of 16 game. And the other guy got Graham Bath from Brookswood. They didn't make the tournament. Nathan Yu, who you guys have recruited from Vancouver College, I'm sorry, he looked phenomenal in the first half. But that they blew that big lead against Dover Bay in the second half. Did you hear about that one?
I did hear about it, yes.
Yes, he went cold in the second half there, Coach. He went very cold, but how are you feeling about those recruits, and who else are we looking at? Because I heard there's a rumor this Denny Dumas, who looked pretty, he looked like he might be the best of the bunch there. Tough kid, quarterback for St. Thomas More. You're laughing. What's the word with him?
Well, Denny is still, last I've heard, is still looking at his going Division I, going to the U.S., looking at his options there. But Denny is a while ago committed to us that if he stays in Canada, that he's coming to UBC to play for us. And we've known that for at least a month or two now. But it's just a matter of, he hasn't given us an actual verbal commitment as of officially that he's, giving up going U.S. But once he stays in Canada, if he stays in Canada, he has committed to us. And Nathan, you committed to us a while ago, and we're ecstatic to have Nathan. I didn't see the game against Dover Bay, but Nathan is a champion. He won a Double-A championship a year ago at the Double A's, and this year, coming to a team where he's got to, get to know a bunch of new players, fit into a new coaching staff and everything, the numbers that he put up in the season he had there at Vann College was really a phenomenal season. And a lot of people don't know this, but he had a very severe groin injury throughout the playoffs, and there was a lot of question marks whether he was even going to play at provincials. And from what I heard from my account, that he did play, and he played quite well. So we're ecstatic to have Nathan coming in, and he's a kid that can come in and help us right away as well. And so we're pretty fortunate. We're pretty happy with even the guys, Graham Bath, Nick Adair, and hopefully Denny makes that decision soon. We get those guys in. Like we say at UBC now, when we talk to Coach Hansen, we're not rebuilding, we're reloading, and that's exactly what the plan is to do for next year.
Because from what I saw there, Dumas and you look like players who can contribute a lot for you next season. Adair seems a little bit like a project for you guys. It's going to take time for him to develop, but that's what I got. I mean, you was making some plays out there that were pretty spectacular at the high school level. And he seems a guy, he was making CIS plays on the court, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I would totally agree with you 100%, Daryl. You definitely hit the nail on the head, so to speak. Nick actually will be redshirting for us next year, so he's not going to step in with us right away. But with that said, another kid that did redshirt for us this year, Balraj Baines, who is another 6'9", 6'10", long athletic kid, he's a kid that could come in next year as a first-year player, even though he redshirted, and step in and do some good things. And Nathan and Denny, I believe, they're going to be great CISI players. But coming in his first year, there's always that learning curve because the CIS is definitely a step up from high school basketball. But people in the next 5 years, once with Nathan and hopefully when Denny does commit to us, can expect great things from those two guys in the near future.
And I never heard these Greg Gillies or Pat McCarthy, who are the stars for Dover Bay. I mean, they tore that VC team up in the second half there in that semifinals. Where are those kids going? I never heard them on your list.
I haven't heard. I've seen them play. We saw them play earlier in the year when they came out here, and they actually had struggled as a team. I couldn't exactly tell you where those guys are going. We kind of identified our players a year ago and this year as early who we wanted, and we really just focused on those guys. And speaking of Graham and Nathan and Denny, et cetera, so we've just really focused our attention there. People always ask you that during the course of the year, well, what about this? What about so-and-so? And, I say to them, we only have so much room for so many guys.
I am asking you about the star players on the championship team, though.
Yes, you are, but... You know what? Here's a perfect example. Casey Archibald, his last year, didn't make that. Didn't even make the tournament, even though he led the tournament in scoring the year before. There's a lot of great players that don't make that team, and there's a lot of good players that have gone on to win high school championships and really struggled at the CIS level. Not that those kids necessarily will, but there are a lot of great players in the province, and you just can't have everybody.
Right, and Coach, the other thing I got to say is, we do your games here, and, I'm doing your games, and then the school didn't really want to pay the money for us to go to the Brandon. They wouldn't pay for the money for us to go to Nationals. Quit, get them to be not so cheap next year, will you?
If I had to say, Daryl, you would have come and done all our games on the road with us this year in playoffs, and it was funny because we always talked about, especially going to Brandon when we heard, and Nationals when we heard you guys weren't coming out to do the game. It really is disappointing. Because you guys do such a great job of following our team and doing the job on the games. Anyone that listens to your games always calls me and says, it's amazing how good they do. Like, they really enjoy listening to you. And I enjoy coming on your show, as do the players on Tuesdays. And if it was up to the players and the coaches, we would have you guys come with us as often as possible. Because it really is a great experience to come to Nationals and see what it's all about. And the more you guys do for us, it's better for not just for our team, but for the program and the school in general. And
yeah, because you had the UVic guy doing the Canada West game, and you know your sports information guy doing the championship game. I mean, you know.
Go figure. I don't know how you go about doing all that stuff. It's just, you know, I'm kind of in the dark when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
Being an assistant coach and it is a shame, but hopefully one day UBC can figure that out and find the funding and to get the people that do care about the program, the guys that do the good job of following us to get to those important games. Because I do think the people at home, fans that can't get out or can't, you know, do on the webcast can actually, you know, they miss out not being able to hear you guys do our games.
Ah, you're a sweetie. Vernon Knopp from the UBC men's basketball team. Coach, thanks for everything you did for me this year. I had absolutely a pleasure with you guys. And, yeah, I mean, this was supposed to be a different show than this today. I'll put it to you that way.
Oh, I understand. And, again, I'd just like to thank you for everything you've done for our team and for having me on your show. It's been a pleasure all year.
Awesome. See you soon, Vern.
You bet.
Okay. Vernon Knopp from the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team. Yeah, it was a bit of a rusty feeling for me. They're not being able to travel to Brandon and not being able to go to the national championships. A little bit of a weird situation for us down here at the station. Anyways, folks, going to take a break right now. We're going to keep things going. Milan Dragicevic, head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team, who I am going to go out and say, the swimming teams, they get teams of the year here at UBC. They are the superstars, 10 national championships in a row. But I am going to give team number two to the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team, winning their first playoff series in 36 years. Milan Dragicevic from the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team, he's the coach, is going to be with us right after this.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash. Good evening. I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antonio. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
Okay, everybody. Welcome back to Winner's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every single Tuesday. Except those ones were preempted, and I occasionally will go away, from 4:30 to 6 p.m. And with us on the line, who, Coach, I'm giving you the number two team on UBC campus this year. Okay, I'm giving you number two. I got to give the swimming teams 1A and 1B.
I agree with you. They've been fantastic over a decade.
Is that fair? I mean, you know, what you did hasn't been done in 36 years, but what they did in Canadian college sports has never been done by any school.
And they deserve all the credit.
So there you go. 10 national championships for both the men and the men and women's swimming team. We had some members on from their team on my show a couple weeks ago. But with us right now, I'm giving you guys number two. I'm putting you guys alone at number two because you guys were so fun to watch this year. You had to travel all around the province. And Coach Milan Dragicevic with us right now. Haven't won a playoff series in 36 years. You go to Game 3 versus Lethbridge. And you pull it off. And, Coach, I got to ask you, is it a little ironic that you guys finally win the playoff series in the year where you have no home?
Yeah, it is. And it's incredible. We were so close to getting the home playoff game, and we didn't know where we were going to play it. We were making contacts all over the place. If we were to play at home, I think we would have ended up playing in Whistler. But that's just the way it is. It's a credit to our players how they persevered this year. No whining and no bitching or crying about where we're doing. Everything was laid out for them, and they persevered, and they won that first playoff series on the road, which hasn't been done in I don't know how many years in Canada West.
And are you looking back right now? I mean, obviously, you know, you had to go into Alberta, and you did get swept in that series. But I sort of thought to myself, after you beat Lethbridge, that if you went to Alberta, had a good showing, it was a successful season for you guys. You did something that the school hadn't done in 36 years. Obviously, after the Lethbridge Series, you were looking ahead, and after the Alberta Series, you were probably a little disappointed. But looking back now, can you look back and say, we did have a good season?
You know, to be 100% honest with you, we're still disappointed what happened in Alberta. And I know for everybody out there, you know, even anybody that watches university hockey didn't give us too much of a chance to go in Alberta, but we know we belong with Alberta. And the first night we lost to them 5-1, well, they scored 3 goals in 44 seconds. And other than that, it was a fairly even game. When the second night they scored with 4 minutes left, where we outshot them and carried the play for the majority of the game. So, you know, we just wanted to take it to Game 3. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. We don't know what would happen if there was a Game 3, but you know, we look back over the last 6 months, and it was a pretty good journey, and, you know, we didn't get to the destination that we wanted to, but, you know, we came together as a hockey team. We battled. We get the majority of our players back, which is nice to see, and now they got that winning feeling, and they know what it's like.
Yeah, not very many seniors on your team. The only one I count is Chad Grisdale, but I assume you will have some other players that won't be with you next season. That's really how it works in this league?
Yeah, you know, we're going to graduate 5 guys. And when we carry a roster of 24, losing 5 guys isn't that bad. And when we lose forwards, John Kress, Michael Goff, Stefan Gervais, and then Jared Wynn and Chad Grisdale on the blue line, we lose some size and we lose some character and we lose 2 assistant captains. And those guys are going to be sorely missed. You know, but it is time for them to move on and get on with their hockey careers or their jobs or whatever that they're going to do and put their degree to good use. But, you know, for them, they're really leaving this program a lot better than it was when they first got here 4 years ago. So that's a credit to them.
And the guy I want to talk about, was he your team MVP this year, Brad Zann and Daryl May, one of your goalies? I mean, I just named 4 guys there. Who was your MVP this year?
Well, that's a tough question, you know, because they all had different moments where they stood up and carried the team. And when you look at our goaltenders, we never had a backup goaltender, and it's not very often that you see 2 goaltenders carry the mail in the playoffs with Jerry playing 3 and Francois playing 2. So, you know, Brad Zann, you know, stats-wise, scored 12 goals and, you know, led the Canada West in defenseman and scoring, and Daryl May led our team offensively. So you really can't pick one guy, but you know, it's a credit. We had some huge unsung heroes like Jordan Burns and Chris Curran. That guys get no recognition, but at the end of the night, they probably block between those two guys 15 to 18 shots a night, but you don't see them on the score sheet. You know, so for me to pick one guy to say he's absolutely the team MVP, I just couldn't tell you right now because there's probably 5 or 6 guys, just like you said, that are well-deserving.
And Daryl May, Mitch Bartley, and, you know, I'm not sure who you're going to put with them next year, but it seems with those 2 guys, you going into next season are going to know, because Bartley, I'm sure, is going to be better. May's already really good. It seems like for the first time in a real long time at this program, you're probably going to have a true top line at the very beginning of the year.
Yeah, we are. And when we had our one-on-ones with all the players, I already told them that, you know, this is what I expect from you guys coming in September, and these are the guys that you're going to be starting to play with. And so they know in their minds they're going to go home in the summer, and they know exactly who they're going to start playing with. And that's something that we haven't had in a long time. When you have 19 players return, you have the luxury of telling them that if you come back in shape, this is who you're going to play with and give them every opportunity to have success. And, you know, we have your top 4 defensemen coming back, your top 2 goalies, and your 9 top out of 10 forwards are all returning. So, you know, next year, there are no excuses because we are going to be on campus, and you know, we have the players now with experience, and all the players are back.
And I got to ask you, Mitch Bartley, Daryl May, who's looking like the third forward on that line?
Well, you know, Mark DeLarge played with them in all the playoff games, and you know, he finished 3rd in our team in scoring with 23 points. You know, he's fast, and what we want is a hard nosed, gritty guy that can go and get the puck for them. And that's my job, is to find one of those guys this year, preferably a right shot. And, you know, someone that can really put the puck in the net, but someone that could stand in front of the net and tip those shots in. And that's what we want. We want to find one of those guys. And that's my whole my whole job this year, is to find a top right winger to play with them.
So next season, though, it sounds like you guys have a legit chance to actually do something, not just win around, to actually do something.
Oh, yeah,
in this league.
No question. And that's what we told our players. I said, this going into the second round, this is something that we expect. You know, next year we expect to go to Nationals. And we believe that that the respect that we got this year from our league, just because we're a hard-working team and we come to play every night, that we earned a lot of respect this year from all the teams. And there are no easy nights, but next year we fully expect to go to Nationals.
And Mitch Bartley, brought him up already. How would you rate his freshman year overall?
Well, Mitch was a lot like some of the other guys. They went through some ups and downs, and he did score, you know, 3-game winners for us this year. And out of 14 games, to have one guy score 3-game winners is pretty huge for us. So, you know, Mitch had a lot of opportunities in the power play, and Mitch is going to come back next year with a different focus and better prepared to come and play 28 league games instead of the 75 he played with the Vancouver Giants. And it's a huge adjustment for him. And we expect Mitch next year to be, you know, one of the better goal scorers in Canada West and to lead our team in goals.
Awesome. Milan Dragicevic, head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. Coach, thanks so much for doing this. Outstanding season this year. And just so you do know, I voted when I put my vote in, and I actually told Deb Huban this. I wanted your games to have the priority that Lethbridge weekend.
Well,
just so you know that.
And I understand that, but that's they're former national champions,
yeah,
and they deserve the respect as well.
And Mike Wall, you liked what he did for you guys this year?
You know, Mike's been with us now for every playoff series in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
He's been great, and the way you guys covered us this year and all the the interviews that we do throughout the course of the week, you guys just do a great job, and I know our players appreciate it, and I know our alumni listen to the games, and thanks very much for supporting us this year.
Thank you, Coach. Milan Dragicevic from the UBC Thunderbirds, no longer coach, you have to hear, haven't won a playoff series since 1971. It's gone now. It's finished.
Thanks very much.
Awesome. Thanks, Coach. Okay, we're going to take another break. The ladies are here. Hello. A bad wave there. Not a bad wave by me. We're going to be back with some members of the UBC Thunderbird women's basketball team right after this. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM.
Well, I talked to weeping willow how to cry, and I showed the clouds how to cover up a clear blue sky, and the tears I cried for that woman are gonna flood you, big river, and I'm gonna sit right here until I die. I met her accidentally in St. Paul, Minnesota, and it tore me up every time I heard a drawl, southern drawl. And then I heard my dream went back downstream, cavorting in Davenport, and I followed you, big river, when you called. St. Louis later on down the river. Operator said she's been here, but she's gone, boy, she's gone. Found a trail in Memphis, but she just walked up the bluff. She raised a few eyebrows and went on down alone. Won't you bat it down by Baton Rouge, River Queen, roll it on. Take that woman on down to New Orleans, New Orleans. Go on, I've had enough. Down in the Gulf, she loves you, Big River, more than me. Yes, I taught the weeping willow how to cry, cry, cry. And I showed the clouds how to cover up a clear blue sky. And the tears I cried for that woman are gonna flood you, Big River. And I'm gonna sit right here until I die.
Are you done goofing off?
Okay, I always... Oh, I gotta figure this out here. There we go. They tell me I always talk into this microphone incorrectly when I turn on these other ones. This is what they tell me. It's true. Anyways, all right, fine. Moving along right now, we have with us two members of the UBC Thunderbird women's basketball team, Megan Pinsky, first-year player, and Kay Haggerty. Wiley Vett?
Yeah.
Wiley Vett, you gotta talk closer into the microphone.
Sorry.
You gotta talk closer. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, no goofing off here.
Okay.
No clown around. So here with two members of the UBC Thunderbird women's basketball team. And, you know, I've been going over, I just went over the men's basketball team and the men's hockey team this year. And got to ask you guys, you know, I will bring up some bad times right now. 88-77 losers to Dalhousie in the first round of the national championship tournament. A tournament that you guys have had a ton of success over the years.
Yeah.
So, you know, because I was telling you in the break there, I was with Fern Knopp, assistant coach of the UBC men's team. Four times in the last 5 years, they haven't won a game in the national championship elimination round. You guys have two national championship titles. But Kate, talking to you right now, Kate Haggerty, who is a member of two of the three championship, both championship teams, doesn't seem like that softens the blow for you, does it?
Not really.
Really?
No. I mean, those are great accomplishments, and we're very proud of that. And the program, I mean, that's huge, but... It still hurts to lose this year. So
really?
Yeah.
Does it hurt more, do you think, that you know what it's like to win and that you couldn't do it again? I mean...
I think it's more just, like, for the team. I wanted the team to experience that. Like, we had a great season, and even though, like, despite that, it was still a great season. And so just not getting the chance to do that again and knowing that, I don't know, we should have, or we beat those two teams that were in the final.
Right.
So that just, I mean, it makes it pretty tough to
I mean, watching SFU win the championship had to make you think, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a... Yeah. Don't hurt me there. Megan Pinsky, first-year player, your first experience at Nationals, obviously a tough one, but, you know, at least going into next season, the rest of your career, you do have that experience now. That has to be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just the process of going to Nationals... The games in Canada West and then being at Nationals, it just, for next year, it adds motivation and confidence, and we're excited for next year.
Did she play well?
Yeah, she was all right.
No.
Yeah, Megan had a great season. She stepped up big time for us, and she's huge.
So, Kate, got to ask you, what did happen in that national championship, in that quarterfinal game versus Dalhousie? What did happen?
I've been asked that question a lot, and to be honest with you, I can't tell you an answer. Things just did not go our way. And everything went their way. We got away from stuff that had gotten us there. Like defense, we gave up way too many points. Our offense, like we scored enough points, but, our defense and just taking away their strengths, like we just couldn't limit them. And in the end, it ended up kicking us in the butt.
What do you think happened there, Megan, in that game?
I think we came out a little bit flat, and I mean, they were just fired up, and they, you know, I respect them because they played so hard against us, and yeah.
So it is still tough almost 2 weeks later now.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It doesn't get easy.
No.
Really? I don't know. I saw what happened to the men, and they haven't won a game, and you guys have won two. I figured maybe it would be easier, but obviously no. You're just as bitter.
Yeah.
Well, I think the expectation for this year was
obviously
it was set.
That must make it harder. The fact you guys knew you were good enough to win.
Yeah. That's the toughest part, mm-hmm. knowing that we had that chance.
And so I got to ask you, Kate, Erica McGinnis, not her best game in that championship game loss versus Dalhousie. Tough game for her, hey?
Yeah, I mean, even though she didn't score as many points as she normally does, she did other things on the floor, and a lot of the time, I think that goes unnoticed with her. Erica carried us so many times this season that I don't even think of, I don't know, I don't really relate a bad game like that as being a bad game for her. I mean, it would have been nice if she scored 30 like she did the next day, but no, she carried us a lot through the season, so we couldn't ask for anything more from her.
And Megan, you know, there were some seniors. It was Kim Howe, Kelsey Blair,
Julie.
And Julie Little, you know, they're all front court players. You're a back court player, but what did you learn from those players this season?
I'm really happy that I got to play with them each. I think they all have different personalities, and they help me in different ways, and sad to see them go, but I have learned a lot from them individually a lot.
And Kate, you've played with a lot with those ladies the last 4 years.
Yeah, they're all pretty special girls, and it's going to be sad next year not having them around. They all, like Megan said, they all brought something very unique to the team, and just being able to, over the past 4 years, watch them kind of like grow and develop as players, and I don't know, it's pretty cool, and it's something that I know I'll definitely remember for the rest of my life. And yeah,
gonna be tough next year when you're going to post up a player down low and it's not Kelsey Blair you're throwing it into.
Yeah, that's gonna be weird. She figured out how to catch my passes, so I'm gonna have to maybe make some adjustments, and maybe I'll start passing the ball a little higher. I don't know.
Why? What's wrong with her passes?
There's nothing wrong with her passes.
What's wrong with your passes?
No, I just sometimes Kelsey just had good hands. That's all. She just had good hands. She could catch anything.
What, you're a little wild out there? What's up? So, and Kim Howe, that she seemed to be a bit of an unsung player for you guys most of the time out there.
Yeah, definitely. Especially Kim just stepped up in huge games. Like, I can't even describe it, but she was always just there, and she was so intense, and I think we're going to miss, like, her fire and her just willingness to do anything.
And Julie Little, things about her?
Julie's she's absolutely the most, like, positive person I've ever met in my life. We're going to miss that so much, and she's just friggin' athletic, like, I don't know. There's something, I only wish I could be like that. But Julie, yeah, she's a pretty amazing player.
So Megan, what's this team looking like for next season? You have lost those three players, but you guys just got a real good recruit.
Two
good recruits.
Yeah.
Really? Who's the one from Quebec or something like that, or Halifax?
Zara Huntley. Huntley? I don't know.
That's Zara.
Zara.
Who's this player? Who's this player?
I played I've tried out on different teams with her, and I kind of know her as, like, a friend and stuff, too. And very athletic player, super dedicated, hardworking. And I think also, Alex, like, those are the type of players that we need at UBC who will put countless hours into the gym and just dedicate themselves to the team. And I think both of those players are really going to blossom next year.
So there's Zara. We can't pronounce her last name right.
I think I got it right.
Okay. Zara.
Zara. And who's the other one?
Alex. She's from Argyle.
Who's it? I need last names here.
V-Wig.
Mm. Who's the one who got the big write-up in the province and all that?
Zara.
Is she as good? I mean, Howard Zamora actually said in the Vancouver province, she has the potential to be the best player to ever come to this school. Is that saying too much, or?
No, not at all. I think, I've seen, like, a lot of players have good potential, but I think Zara will actually be one of those ones who can reach it just because of her strong work ethic. And I was just talking to her a couple days ago, and she's so excited to come to UBC. Like, when she came out on a recruiting trip, she loved all the girls, loves the coaches, and, like, yeah, so I'm
so what excited. What kind of player is she down low? She's a forward.
Yeah.
What kind of player
is she? She can play three also. She's a very versatile player. She'll be a great defender, which fits into UBC nicely. She's a pretty, like, a fairly good passer and, like, can dribble the ball, so.
And rumor has it, this is just a rumor, she can get two hands on the rim.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that rumor as well.
I don't know. We'll see, but
Do a little dunk action.
Be, yeah.
Kate could throw the alley-oop.
Yeah.
So is that a dream of yours to throw an alley-oop in a game?
I would enjoy that.
You would enjoy that?
Yeah, that'd be okay with me.
would it be like, you know, your last game and you've done like, you know, you haven't done that alley-oop and you're just going
I'm
for
just
it.
Going to throw it. Yeah, no matter where I am. Somebody
catch this, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody catch this, please. So, Kate, what kind of player is Megan Pinsky? Came in with a lot of potential, had a very good first season. What kind of player we got right here?
Megan, she's a pretty...
And you'd be nice. She's sitting right
here.
Yeah, I
know. Right? She's she's a very, very hardworking player. She comes out, she's pretty emotional on the court, and like definitely you can tell that she's giving it her all. She's a great defender, and I don't know, just over the season we've kind of seen her game blossom, and she's stepped up big time for us, so I'm excited to see what kind of improvements she makes over the summer and for next year. But she's very
has the potential
she's one of the
be,
athletic players.
Ah, one of the
team.
Athletic
yeah,
players.
Yeah.
Has the potential to be a top player, though, definitely.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
Definitely.
For
and
sure, for
so
sure.
What is she a point guard too a little bit or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
She's a point guard.
Really? You're gonna bump minutes off this one next year. What's the story there, Megan?
I learned from this one.
what do you learn from Kate Haggerty?
Well, I'm just really happy that I get to have another year with Kate because I think she's taught me how to be calm. Even though she says I'm emotional, I have toned the emotion down. And just watching her, she makes such smart decisions and is a good passer, whether she'll admit that or not. And just being in practices with her and in games, seeing her leadership, that's something that I look to. And yes, and a good shooter. So,
are you a good shooter? Why don't you shoot? My favorite part, Kate, one of the things I think is great about you is you'll have a great game and you'll look at the box score and you can see you're playing great out there, you're playing great defense, and you'll have like 2 assists, 1 point, and a rebound. That's true. Statistics can't say what she does. That's what I'm saying.
No. But I think when she does shoot the ball, it's pretty much a guaranteed in.
So
Megan, we've talked
about this. Yeah, I had one game, I was like, Kate, I think between this game and the other game, you're like 6 for 6, and she got a little mad.
Because
she missed,
I missed
her next
my
shot.
Next. Yeah.
Was
she
that?
It was my
me.
Fault.
What game was this? What
game? I can't remember.
Sometime during the season?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You will go games where you'll take like a shot, won't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think, I don't know, if it comes up in a game and I'm open to shoot it, then I'll shoot it. If not, if somebody else has a better look, then I think my job is to get them the ball. And I mean, if I can set somebody up to score, then I'm as happy doing that as I am scoring.
Right. And then next year for you guys, obviously, I mean, SFU is probably going to be a better team next year, is what I'm hearing, because they had a very young team this year. And they're going to probably be, you know, they're going to all be a year older, and they're the defending national champion. So it's only going to get better, the games between you two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, hands down, still your big rival. I mean,
for sure.
Were you rooting against them in the national championship final?
We weren't. I'd say we weren't all for them. No. I think it would have been cool to see Alberta win it, just because they had a pretty amazing season, and I really liked their style of play, and I thought they worked hard, and they did it as a team. So I was kind of pulling for them, but Simon, they were deserving, and good for them. But
tough, eh?
Yeah.
Tough, eh?
Still,
but you still have 2 championships. You have 2. Do you think at the end of your career, you'll be able to look back and this loss will be easier?
Yes.
Because you have one, you know?
In the moment.
And you gotta win. And you gotta win next year for this one.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't have a national championship to be like, it's all right, I got one. I don't.
Everybody's like, I got 2, I got 1.
I didn't get 1.
Megan,
we'll work on that.
Yeah.
You'll work on. You guys. Yeah. You're playing for the national team this summer, or you're not sure? How does that work?
No, they're not. You have to try out and stuff. So. Yes.
So how does it work? What goes on?
I don't even know. There's 4 teams that they have to field this summer, so a lot of girls are going to get opportunities to play in different teams. I don't even know. I don't even think they know exactly who's going on what team or even when the tryout dates are, but we'll hope for the best. And
because this is the same team Kerry Watson played for.
There's different. There's like a
different tiers. Sort
of. There's a U21 junior national, which is U19, the national one, and the university games team. So.
So where does this all? Where? So you're gonna play for the under.
I'm not.
She's
sure.
Not sure.
She's not like, sure, right?
Under. Yeah. What team did you play for?
It'd
last
either
year?
Be under 19 or under 21. Under 21, if I made a team.
You played for under 19 last year.
And the U21 team.
Oh,
as well.
She's got potential.
Both of the teams that I played on, and Leanne played on the under 21 team with us.
Okay.
And Deb as well.
Really?
Yes.
She favoritism for you or no? Not at all.
I would have liked a little more. Throw me some more minutes.
Throw me a little more. Give me a few more open looks. Yeah. Eh? Set some screens out there. Come on. Give me some confidence.
Yeah.
So awesome. So UBC basketball, though, still in a great spot, though. So
I think this is a that we'd never been to nationals and lost. I think this kind of, I mean, it definitely gives you way more incentive for next year, and that's always a bonus. And we learned kind of buy in. Oh, I don't know, the big picture and the pro.
Step into a team with as good a program like this, where you sort of have to work your way up. Does that make it a little harder? We're coming from a program where you are maybe the star player, and now you're sort of, you got to work your way up the whole ladder.
Yeah, I mean. At the beginning, I think at the beginning, like, you go to any team, you have to take a step back and realize, like, okay, this is a process, and I have 5 years here, and, you know, you're not going to be an Erica McGinnis when you step in. They work, like, Kate's worked with me a lot, like, Erica, and so, yeah, it's good. And I think, like, we might have struggled with our on-court chemistry at the beginning, really built towards the end, and... Yes.
Yeah.
Playoffs are 2 out of 3, and you win, you win, you win, you win, and then do you almost feel like, oh, we didn't have the good game here, why?
I don't know. It seemed like a bit of nerves, like maybe that played into it. I don't know.
Yeah, hey?
Yeah.
And Megan, though, sounds like, though, UBC women's basketball, here to stay. Next season, you're going to get that flag back, hey?
Domination.
Domination. Awesome. Megan Pinsky, Kate Haggerty from the UBC basketball team, an outstanding season. 2 national championships in the last. Doesn't that sound too. Awesome. Ladies, thanks for coming on. We're going to take a break, folks. We'll be right back with Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province.
Yes, I'll admit. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as not. Got a way to keep me on your side. I can't hide. I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Weir's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And a guy who really knows how to rev me up. Really knows how to get me going, really knows how to get me excited, and this is all in a plutonic way, is Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province. Steve, thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I thought you were going to say that I really know how to barbecue.
Steve, you definitely do know how to barbecue, uh-huh. And the question I ask you right now, Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province, what does Steve Ewan like to put on the barbecue? You know what I will say? Yes. That's something, you know what, next week I'm getting back to that, okay, is because UBC sports, there's baseball going on, but, you know, the main sports we cover here are the basketball teams, the hockey teams,
uh-huh.
And, you know, I also cover the field hockey and the soccer teams when they come along,
okay.
And the swimming teams. It's like off-season now, though, for UBC. You remember when you covered amateur sports?
Yeah,
Terry
McCaig's going.
Terry McCaig,
UBC, the vaunted baseball team.
Of course, but I can't do an hour and a half of UBC baseball week. I just can't do it, Steve. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm just sorry to say.
You know.
So basically, what I'm saying is I now have April, the end of March, April, May, June, July, and a lot of August to sort of let loose, let my hair grow out as much as it does,
uh-huh.
And have a good time. And I am bald. I do not grow hair very well.
Yes.
And, Steve, you know, I got to get back to it because I used to say this to people after every guest I interviewed. I'd go, what's on the barbecue?
I know. That was back in the day.
Back
in the glory days of Wiener's Barbecue.
Yeah, it was when Sam Goldman was helping me out here.
Sammy.
Our morning show when we used to play porn music.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah, that wasn't a big seller for me, but whatever.
The film was the Blaxploitation CD we used to play. You were okay if that wasn't so. But you know, Steve, we reached out to different people
then. If that's how you roll, that's how you roll.
That's how you roll. So, Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province. Steve, what's on the barbecue?
There'll be about a 12-ounce steak as soon as I'm done with you.
Yeah. Do you marinate it?
Sometimes I marinate. Today I didn't marinate.
No marination.
You got it mixed up.
Not even lemon juice or
no.
Pepper or barbecue. No barbecue sauce of any kind, eh?
No, just... there'll be a little spice, but nothing too crazy.
Okay, a pretty au naturel steak. And what are you going to have with it? Maybe a cola of some kind, a juice, a water?
A cola.
And are you going to have a little salad, a little potato?
No, I think I may just go steak. I'm not that hungry today.
Really?
Yeah.
Just steak and cola.
Yeah.
Gonna turn on and watch American Idol.
Yeah, not a problem.
Gonna turn on and watch. Are you gonna watch American Idol tonight? Really?
I'm not a big fan of.
I do my show on Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
And
so I heard.
I go to my parents' place. They live nearby, and it's on the way back to my place. And I'll stop by every Tuesday. Okay.
Yeah.
And Mama makes me dinner. Although I told her, although every week is the same thing, I tell Mom, I'm going to eat here, and then I eat here, but I'm still hungry when I get to their place, and I always complain there's nothing for me to eat. Nonetheless, at 8 o'clock, I will go there, and I'll be there probably about 6:37, and I'll get there, and at 8 o'clock, I will be watching a full hour of American Idol.
Oh, that's nice.
What do you think? Am I a total loser? Or?
Well, no.
No, yeah?
No. You got a nice bald head, though.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Steve Ewan with us from the Vancouver province right now. And Steve, it's about time for, I think this is what I can call really your fun time for sports coverage of the year is about to get started. This whole Memorial Cup run, am I correct?
Oh, I'm digging the Memorial Cup run. I'm digging baseball starting. I'm digging all sorts of things.
So, Steve, we'll get into baseball.
I'm digging the end of basketball season. That was fun.
Oh, the little March Madness? You're into that?
Well, not so much the March Madness, but the high school stuff.
Oh, the high school was, you know what?
Yeah.
I have actually never, we did one game on Tuesday, one game on Wednesday,
yeah.
Two quarterfinals on Thursday.
With
both
my colleague, Howard
Samora, who did five games for us, one game a day, Tuesday to Saturday.
Is he not the happiest person on earth?
You know what? I go to Howard after, I go, Howard, thanks a lot for doing these games. And he goes, no problem at all. I love doing them. And I'm like, well, I thank you anyways. it was just like, yeah, you couldn't thank him for doing it, basically. He loved doing it. But we did the game on Saturday, and, you know, you obviously used to always go to that tournament when you covered high school, when you were the amateur sports guy in the city. Back in the day. It's a phenomenal tournament, that BC
AAA. It's a great event. It's one of the best events that I had ever been to, and I've done all sorts of things now. I mean, I was right up there with the Memorial Cup for me, and I did a round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I there's just a neat buzz in that building when you get there on a good night and with all the other teams. So, I mean, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I went the first day.
Yeah.
No, I didn't go on the Tuesday, but I went for some games on the Wednesday, and it was good. It wasn't great, but the atmosphere, because there just wasn't a ton of people there, but it obviously built as the week went on. But even though there wasn't a ton of people there, you could still see, I mean, these are huge games for these kids, and it almost has that junior hockey feel to it for me, in that at UBC, I mean, this is just the way it is, you know, you're not going to get Rob Sacre coming here. You're not going to get LaVon Kendall coming here. If you go to this BC AAA tournament, you know, you could see this Mark Trazzolini from Vancouver College, who's probably going to go to a Div 1 school.
Yep.
You can see this Creighton Kralin from Kitsilano, who's probably going to go to a division. Clayton Creelan, is that what it is?
Yeah.
A Clayton,
something like that, yeah.
Something like that, who's probably going to go to a Div 1 school. I mean, you're seeing these players. For me, it just sort of had, like, junior hockey does for the pros. It had that kind of look to it for me.
Yeah.
So how many games did you see there on the weekend?
Three or four. I was doing girls all week.
Yeah, you were doing the girls. Yeah. And were you ever covering it when Steve Nash was here? Because that's obviously the...
No, that Nash was during the first Howard Samora regime.
Oh, the first Howard Samora. So you missed that. Because that's the other cool thing I liked about the BC High School AAA was, you know, you're going through that media guide, and there you are finding 1991 MVP Steve Nash. I mean...
I think it was 92.
92. Whatever it was. About... Hey, I was close. I was close enough. Do you know, actually, is my high school, Point Grey,
yes.
We used to be the school that basically ran that tournament.
Yes.
They used to bring down like 60 of us during the week.
Yes.
You remember that? You do remember that?
I didn't realize it was your high school, but yes.
You remember Klaus Heck. He was the guy.
Klaus Heck was the guy that ran the scores.
Yeah, and he used to bring us, you know, I remember doing that in high school. Anyway, Steve, you're from Vancouver province with us right now. So, Steve, Vancouver Giants. I mean, my question with the Giants, okay? I mean, it's going to be unbelievable when the Memorial Cup gets here. But does it have that same playoff feel? And obviously they want to be going when the Memorial Cup arrives. But does it have that same feel in that they don't have to win to get there, or does it not matter because the Memorial Cup's here, they've got a great team, and it's almost, we'll have a buzz because you know this team will be in the Memorial Cup. What's your feel on that one?
Oh, I think it's a big deal. I think they've said all along that, you know, they don't want to go in as the host team, they want to go in as WHL champions. So I think, you know, that's been their speech, whether that's what they really think, or that's just what they're selling. I think that's been the way they've kind of marketed this whole entire year. So, I think the playoffs will be a big deal. I think that, you know, in terms of just rivalry and in terms of interest, they drew a great first round with Chilliwack. I mean, it may not be great hockey, as Joe Lack in their first year, it has still got some, you know, building to do. I mean, they've done great things, but they're still a long ways away from being a true contender in this league. But it's a great kind of, you know, Fraser Valley, Lower Mainland kind of rivalry.
Yeah, because Chilliwack, I mean, this is a team who, let's face it, Steve, people that read the Vancouver Province Daily, every day there's that Chilliwack Bruins article. And, you know, they have to love you guys for the coverage you've given them this year. So Chilliwack, I mean, you know, they haven't had a great season, but what kind of team are they? I mean, we're probably looking at
They've got one very good line. They've got one outstanding line led by a kid named Oscar Moeller, a Swedish kid who could be a first-round pick in this year's draft. So, they're kind of fun that way. I mean, they've built around that line. They've got, you know, some muckers and some grinders that, you know, they're going to work hard and you know, they're going to try and do some things. They just don't match up with a team that's been built not only to win the W, you know, that's not only looking to win the WHL, they're looking to win the whole thing. They're looking to win the, you know, Memorial Cup National Championship.
So who are the contenders? It's still Kelowna's the big contender there?
No.
Okay, I'm wrong. Who is it? Okay.
Kelowna's out. The big teams out west are, I mean, Everett is probably the favorite, followed by Vancouver, Tri-City, Seattle maybe, probably a Kamloops or a Prince George is kind of the next in line.
Cool. So this gets
the team
going
in the East is Medicine Hat.
Yeah, so this gets going. It's soon.
Starts Friday.
Next Friday. It's this coming Friday.
Yeah.
So March 23rd, I believe, is the date.
Sure.
So there you go. Vancouver Giants versus Chilliwack Bruins as the run for the Memorial Cup begins, and Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province will be all over. So, Steve, let's move on.
Yep. I definitely won't be running. I'll be walking briskly, but it'll be my walk towards the Memorial Cup.
You will be watching, though.
I'll be watching, and I'll be walking, but I won't be running.
Are you so you're traveling with the team everywhere they go?
Well, I'll be driving.
Is there no flight? Are they going to be hosting the whole way?
No, but they go to Chilliwack, yeah. And in the event they win that, probably Tri-City. So, I mean, that's a 5-hour drive to Kennewick, Washington.
Wow. Good work, Steve.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good work. Steve, you're from the Vancouver Province. Steve, I want to get into some baseball talk.
I can talk whatever you want.
I want to get into some baseball, and I want to
start. That's how I roll.
I want to start off with, I find this kind of odd, what this guy's doing, and I've kind of had enough of him now. I have had enough of him for the last couple of years.
Barry Bonds.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's the pitcher who won't retire. And keeps coming back halfway.
Is that Roger Clemens?
This is Roger Clemens, Steve.
He's bugging me, too.
Is it? You, too,
why
hey?
Just quit.
Or, dude, or why are you going to various team spring training sites?
I don't like him.
Shows up at the Yankee spring training sites, goes to the Houston Astros spring training sites. He's working with his kid. I mean, come on. Do one or the other. I mean, isn't enough with this guy?
I don't know how what that does for team chemistry. I know he's Roger Clemens and all that stuff, but to kind of parachute a guy in halfway through the season is, you know, you really wonder. And he's supposed to be a great guy, you know, a great teammate. That's what everybody says. He's great energy and all these kind of things. But, yeah, I'm not a big fan of that whole.
The way it's going down. I mean, he does get $1 zillion for it. But, and then the other one is Clemens. I mean, I obviously believe that he's possible. That if they were to test for those stuff, we might find Roger guilty, but we'll never know. The other one, Steve, I'm telling you look at when he started becoming great again, it kind of coincides directly with it. But the other one I want to get into with baseball.
If there's any lawyers listening, I didn't say that.
No, okay, there you go. Anyway, Steve.
Allegedly,
thank you. You know how it works. Anyway, Steve. The Toronto Blue Jays, actually, yep. You know, I'm looking at their lineup this year, and it's going to start soon. You know, they've got Roy Halladay, they got A.J. Burnett starting pitching, and then they've got nobody from there. I mean, it's just a pile of gup, and they've got a closer in B.J. Ryan. Then they got B.J. Ryan closing the door. I don't really see anything between B.J. Ryan and the pile of goop. And then you look at their lineup, though, and it looks like it's a pretty good lineup Toronto's got there. You can't really, you know.
You always wonder about Frank Thomas, whether or not he's going to be healthy.
Hey, I drafted him in my baseball pool. I'm expecting 100 RBIs out of that guy.
Yeah, well, he might get 100 days on the DL.
So, but just looking at it, Steve, I think Toronto might actually have a team this year you know, they might not win. I mean, they're in that tough division. They might not win, but it could be a good team to watch is what I'm saying.
Vernon Wells is always a lot of fun and, I mean, does so many things well, both on offense and defense. I mean, they've still got too many, you know, Troy Glaus is an injury kind of plagued the guy. Frank Thomas is an injury plagued the guy. I think even Reed Johnson, to me, kind of screams. He just plays so hard and crashes into things.
Alex Rios?
Yeah, I mean, staph infection. So, I mean, and that's a tough division. You have to outspend those other two teams.
So, which they'll never do. But let's look at their competition, though. They are going to have to beat one of these two teams out at least. And last year they did, and they still couldn't make the playoffs. Boston, Dice K, we've seen him in spring training. I couldn't get him in my baseball pool. Mm. We do the keeper, and he went first overall, and we got Trevor Hoffman second overall, so I was quite happy with that.
I love Trevor Hoffman.
You're a Padre guy, and
I'm a Padre guy.
Second in NL Cy Young voting last season. The Red Sox, I mean, they will have that great lineup. What do you think? I mean, this Dice K is my question. We've seen him in spring training. If you were to bet, Steve, what do you think Dice K is going to do this year?
I think he'll be a middle-of-the-road guy right away. I don't think he'll be a dominant guy right away. I think, you know, just bigger, stronger hitters and kind of the, you know, the new travel and just all the scrutiny that goes with being that guy, right, being the guy that they paid $51 million just to negotiate with, let alone sign his contract. So, I think he'll be okay. I don't think he'll be a bust, but I don't think he'll be the star that everyone projects.
I don't know. I'm kind of looking at this guy, and you know, he's in a fantasy pool. He's so tempting because of the, you know, unlimited upside a guy has when he comes in with this kind of hype. Mm-hmm. And you don't know. I mean, there. Do you have the next Ichiro like Japanese player sitting there ready to take?
Do you have
Hideki Arabu? Yeah. Or do you have the next Hideki Arabu? You don't know. But I think he'll be, my guess with him, I'd pencil him in for, I'll say 17 wins this year, which is actually pretty good. That's what I'll say he gets this year.
The problem with doing that is that, you know, their bullpen is just such a crapshoot right now.
But what is going on with that bullpen? Joel Piñeiro, Mike Timlin looking to close? What are they doing with all that? With all that money, you can't sign a closer?
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know why they don't just leave Papelbon back there.
Well, that's the other one, too. Yeah. Or go out and sign Joe Borowski or something like that, you know? Bring Bob Wickman to town. I mean, there's closers out there, yeah. You know? I mean, that's what they'll probably trade for one. And, you know, the Yankees, same old, looking good. But you still got to wonder, that starting pitching does have a lot of question marks, although they do have the money to, you know, patch it up when needed on a second call. But
Clemens and Pettit are buddies. Does that mean Clemens is going there?
Right.
I think that's the, you know, real wild card, and they've got that other Japanese guy, Agawa.
Yeah, Kayagawa.
Yeah. Who put up similar numbers to Dice K, but is really struggling. So, you know, so far this spring, and there's talk that he may not even, you know, make the ball club now. So.
Yeah. What do you read Sports Weekly too? Where do you get your info? Can you tell me?
Where do I get my info?
Yeah, your info on that.
I just read everything.
Yeah, it's awesome. I read the other day that he might not even crack the rotation, Agawa.
Yeah, so I mean, that's interesting.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. And, you know, the rest, what else are you looking at spring training?
My Padres.
You're following how your Padres looking?
They're looking okay.
You're liking Greg Maddux?
And I think David Wells is a useful fifth guy.
Yeah.
As long as you don't tax him too much. And I think Jake Peavy will have a big bounce back here. I'm not a huge Marcus Giles guy because right. I think he's injury prone too. So,
and you know, they've got Scott Linebrink in the bullpen there. Good setup man for Trevor Hoffman.
Yeah.
So looking good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Steve, we got to move on here. I appreciate it
always.
So Steve Ewan will be at the Vancouver Giants Friday. We get going on the Memorial
Friday,
Cup play.
Saturday in deepest, darkest Vancouver, and then Tuesday, Wednesday out in Crazy Chilliwack.
Pretty stoked, eh? You're pretty stoked.
Pretty excited.
Awesome. Steve Ewan. Thanks, as always. Okay, that was Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province. Okay, folks, if you're currently listening to 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. I am going to be off about 5 to 7 minutes early today. We've got a special CITR presentation. It's going to be Dig Your Roots. It's a jazz concert from Halifax that's going to be broadcasted pretty much nationally on a bunch. I don't have the exact details here, but on a bunch of university stations across the country. So we've got a special jazz concert presentation from Halifax that will be on after me at 6 o'clock, and I'm going to be heading off about 5-6 minutes early today. Next week, though, if you are listening right now, and you're going to see myself and Derek Andrew out on UBC campus next week with our little lame-ass sign, it's my big prize giveaway day next week. Now, you have to be down here at the station just before 4:30. We shut the door at 4:30, and if you're late, you're out. You got to be here, okay? 4:30, we are going to be giving away that day. You got to be here for an hour, 4:30 to 5:30, to be eligible to win, okay? And it's a contest. It's a flat-out contest, and the winner will be getting two tickets to the Vancouver Canucks and the Los Angeles Kings Tuesday, April 23rd. So the big contest is next week, and I'm also working on, a whole bunch of other prizes to throw into that day. So Derek Andrew, my pal, and I, next Tuesday at about, I don't get off work till about 2:30, so at about 3 o'clock, we're going to be those guys with those little wooden, cardboard cutout signs saying, win Canuck tickets. And, last year, when the team was struggling, we were still able to get about, 15, 17 people up here. So next year, this is quite a year. You can't get Canuck tickets. This is going to be the second last home game of the season. Luke, do you remember that, our big Canuck ticket giveaway last year?
I do.
Where we had the people in the arcade in the end?
I most certainly do, sir.
So that's next week. Next week we're doing...
So we're turning CITR into a complete and utter scavenging madhouse then?
Next Tuesday, from 4:30 to 5:30.
Looking forward to it, man.
I get 1 hour.
Alrighty.
1 hour. Luke Mate, so once again, Luke, at 6 o'clock, you're going to be hearing a jazz festival from Halifax. That's the name of the band, or is that the name of the festival?
Dig Your Roots is the project.
Dig Your Roots is the project from Halifax, so that'll be starting in about 10 minutes' time. 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
10 minutes' time. Okay, folks, so we're winding up the show here today, and I was able to go down to a tennis tournament in Southern California a couple weeks ago, and it's called Indian Wells, and it was won by, actually, Roger Federer. I saw it happen. He lost in the first round of that tournament, his first loss in 46 matches, and it's a wonderful tournament. But what I'm going to get to with you guys right now is we might have a tennis player here. We might have a tennis player. His name is Frank Dantsevic from Niagara Falls. And he won his first round match versus Alexander Woski, a big, tall kid from Niagara Falls. I watched it. He won his first round match versus the German Alexander Woski to get to the second round of this tournament, get to the round of 64. And then he took on Fernando Gonzalez. He was the man from Chile who made it to the finals of the Australian Open. Dantsevic, in this match, lost 6-7 in the first set tiebreaker. He lost 7-6. The tiebreaker was 8-6, won the second set 6-1, lost the third set 7-5. It was a best 2 out of 3. His last four tournaments, he has lost to Leighton Hewitt, Marcos Baghdatis, a top-rated player in the world, Andy Murray, rated number 13 from England, and now Fernando Gonzalez, who at the time of his defeat over Dantsevic was the number 5 seed in the world. So all I'm saying, and he took them all the three sets, he took Gonzalez, Murray, and Baghdatis to three sets each. So, and apparently his best surface is what he told me. I got to interview him after the match. What he told me is his best surface is grass. His best surface is grass. So all I'm saying here is keep your eye on this kid at Wimbledon. The French Open, he might not even be able to qualify. He actually won a round at the Australian Open. And although he may not even be able to qualify for the French Open, because he's had such a tough draw lately, but maybe he will. Don't expect much from the French, but then when Wimbledon shows up in the summer, keep your eye on Frank Dantsevic, because we actually have a shot. This guy could be the highest ranking Canadian of all time. Currently, the highest ranking Canadian has been 46 in the world. Dantsevic, I think he's gotten as high as 82. He's 21 years old, so keep your eye on him. Okay, folks, I'm going to get headed here. Thank you very much for listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. I'd like to thank my guest, Vern Knopp from the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team, Milan Dragicevic from the men's hockey team, Kate Haggerty, and Megan Pinsky from the UBC Thunderbird women's basketball team, and then, of course, Steve Ewan from the Vancouver province. Remember, next week, 4:30 p.m., be here at about 4:28, 4:29. Hop in that door as we will be doing our contest for two Canucks tickets April 3rd, Tuesday, versus the Los Angeles Kings. And I'm hoping to have a whole bunch of other prizes to give away with that one. All right, everybody, thanks for listening to the show. Once again, a very special jazz presentation, the Dig Your Roots Project, will be on right after me, live from Halifax. Thanks for listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM.
Here's a song I like to do. Chris Thomason wrote it. And it's a song that I like to do it because it makes me reflect back on where I've been. It kind of keeps me off the street. That's important for me to do, to look back where I've been, because I don't want to lose track of where I am trying to go. Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head that didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled in my closet, threw my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt. Then I washed my face and combed my hair, stumbled down the stairs to meet the day. I smoked my mind the night before with cigarettes and songs that I'd been picking. But I lit my first and watched a small boy cussing at a can that he'd been kicking. I crossed the empty street, caught the Sunday smell of someone frying chicken. And it took me back to something that I lost somewhere, somehow along the way. On a Sunday morning sidewalk, oh, I'm wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. 'Cause there's something in a Sunday that makes the body feel alone. Short of dying, half as lonesome as the sound of a sleeping city sidewalk. Sunday morning coming down. In the park I saw a daddy with a laughing little girl that he was swinging. And I stopped beside a Sunday school, listened to the songs that they were singing. I headed down the road, somewhere far away, a lonely bell was ringing. And it echoed through the canyons like a disappearing dream of yesterday. Sunday morning sidewalk, I'm wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. 'Cause there's something about a Sunday that'll make your body feel alone. Oh, and there ain't nothing short of dying half as lonesome as the sound of a sleeping city sidewalk. Sunday morning coming down. Can't believe it's been 31.